Reality Daily listeners, what is going on? This is your boy Jeremy here, and we are reuniting with the Veed to cover the first part of the Challenge 39 reunion. The Veed, what's going on?
I'm doing good, JB. You know, it's quite sad to think that this is going to be the second last episode of the season. I'll be honest, good reunion. I was a bit shocked. Like, usually these challenge reunions are a bit dull and like a bit cringy, but this one was actually really good. What did you think of it?
I mean, there were some cringe moments, there were some dull moments, but there was also a lot of not dull and not cringe moments. And you know, yes, it is only the penultimate episode, but we did see the trailer for the Challenge All Stars 4 coming out on Paramount Plus on April 10th. And we will talk a little bit about the cast, our first initial thoughts as well in this episode. So, let's just get right going into this, Naveed. I'll just ask you point blank, because I feel like we don't really need to go in chronological order to kind of talk about the reunion. But who was your MVP of the reunion episode one?
You know, you really got to give it to Laurel. I think she just came in like hot and was just like blowing everyone up. Every single moment she just served. And it was actually incredible just to see her back in the fold. What about you?
Yeah, honestly, I was really happy with Laurel in this. And she is going to be on All Stars 4. Really excited to see her return in a capacity of a player. But I think Melissa had a big reunion, and she's always great TV, and this was exactly the moment. And, you know, that's kind of where the reunion starts, right? The whole Melissa Big T Corey drama, we didn't really see it on screen in the recent episodes. It was a really a first half of the season storyline, obviously, because Big T and Melissa were cut pretty early in the season. I didn't realize this beef with Corey was so deep. Let's talk about it. Whose team are you on? Are you on Team Corey or are you on Team Melissa and Big T?
I'm always on Team Corey. I find Big T and Melissa to just be obnoxious. And like, I personally was more than happy to skip this portion or like fast forward this portion. I just find them annoying. I think when like Corey was saying that you guys are continuously pushing my buttons and then like telling me to not yell at you, I thought Corey was definitely right there. Because I think that's the type of girls that they are. I think Big T and Melissa are definitely those type of girls that like to push buttons and then to be like, well, why are you yelling? And I just find those type of girls to be obnoxious. And I don't want to say type of girls. I think those type of people are obnoxious because guys can be like that too. I think yeah, Corey was actually very honest. What about you?
I think Corey held his own here pretty well. You know, obviously he was the one that kind of did the more villainous act in the game. You know, he had that big, you know, call out session where he basically said, I've been lying to Melissa and Big T this whole time. And, you know, I can understand where Melissa and Big T are coming from, because both Melissa and Big T had moments during the season where they were kind of screwed over by people who they didn't necessarily expect it to be screwed over. You know, Melissa and Big T entered the season, I feel like, at a very big disadvantage, right? They had, they were in the minority in the house right away. They had each other, but the British population in the house just wasn't as large as the American population in the house. And so they had to look for alliances based off of other things other than, you know, where you're from. And I feel like with Big T coming out and having that whole moment, Corey being the only one of the few queer people in that house, you know, Big T, you know, leaned on Corey a lot. And same thing with Melissa being a parent, you know, she leaned on Asaf through a lot. And they were both screwed over by those exact people, the ones that they confided in. And at the end of the day, you know, all is fair in love, war, and the challenge. So Corey and Asaf, I feel like, are justified in making whatever move they needed to make, especially Corey, because he needed to distance himself from Big T and Melissa in order to ingratiate himself within the majority. And it got him, you know, to fourth place. So I really don't think that Corey is in the wrong here, but do I think he maybe could have, I don't know. It's a weird position to be in, because I feel like Corey, maybe the words that he chooses could be better, but I feel like the situation that he was in maybe a little bit impossible, I feel. And Corey did the best he could with what he had. And I feel like it's unfortunate. But like when he says things like, oh, Big T, you were never my friend or anything like that, that's what makes him look like messy and makes him look a little shady. I mean, he could have said all of what he said without saying that, and then he would have, you know, been fine. But when he says things like that to Big T, it doesn't make him look any better. Would you agree with that?
I mean, you're right, but I think that's kind of like the messy side of Corey and like why we really enjoy seeing him on our show, because he does have that messy side where he does do some like stupid shit, which makes like scratch your head. But overall, I do think that like he's still honest and about the situation. I will say, you're saying that, like, you know, to no fault of their own, you know, Big T and Melissa got to the minority. I just disagree with that. I think if you remember correctly, like, Big T and Melissa were being, like, mean girls at the beginning of the season when they were, like, laughing at, like, Berna and, like, and had these other moments where they thought they were, like, you know, top shit, and then they quickly found out that they really weren't. So I'm actually going to push back on that a little bit, JB. I think that this season, Big T coming into it, she was one of the people who had the most experience with the challenge and could theoretically be one of the top dogs in the house, but she kind of fumbled it because she just didn't – she let the game kind
she
of like,
no
slip out of her.
She had no friends, though.
No, I think she could have easily been part of, like, that Veterans Alliance, but I think she let it slip out of her hands.
I don't necessarily agree, because I think the genesis of the Majority Alliance – was Michelle, and Michelle had her ride or die girls, and that was what created the majority in the house. And you know, maybe Big T builds something off of, you know, Zara and with, you know, Melissa and maybe Raven. You know, maybe she's able to go through that route, but I feel like because she wasn't one of Michelle's top people, she wasn't considered. You know, she had really had no shot.
But I don't even know if she even made the active effort to kind of get in the good graces of Michelle either. Like, you look at someone like Corey.
Whether or not she did, I don't think that any relationship that she built in that house was going to trump any of the relationships beyond the season. And so for that, I feel like they were just kind of screwed. No.
Sorry to cut you off there, but like she actively was like mean girling like allies of Michelle, and like so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think she had a strategic bone in her body to even make the right moves. I think she it's not like one of those situations where like she tried and then she failed. I just think that she didn't have a good grasp.
And if she was strategic, Naveed, like it wouldn't have mattered, like because she had no like there was no strategic path for her to get to the final. Oh, excuse me, but like any like look if you look at the people that made it to we'll just say made it to the conquest phase of the game, you know, the people that were there either A were Michelle's top allies, or they were an ally of someone who was attached to Michelle, like Mariah with James, Colleen with Berna, you know, Kyland with Norris, you know, yeah. So like that's how the end game was built, based off of every relationship Michelle had. And look, even if Big T goes into a number of chaos eliminations and she wins, you know, I think she won one. She won a single chaos elimination against Kaz. But like if she beat Casey, like she would have just gone sitting down every time. And I really don't think that she would have come out on top. I just think there was no path for Big T and Melissa the whole season. And they kind of just, I think they made it pretty far considering the odds and how stacked they were against them.
I highly disagree. Like when you look at the overall challenge career that Big T has had, she definitely has had the ability to make those relationships over the seasons. Like she was on Spies, Lies, and Allies, even before that, Double Agents. Like I think it's just like one of those situations where Big T, and this is one, and I'm just gonna say this flat out, I've been historically a Big T hater, and it's for flat out reasons like this. Every season, Big T has like this huge fan base, which defend her to death. But the way I see it is that coming into the season, where it's like the most fresh type of season you could ask for, and when it comes to like the relationships, she still sucked. She still wasn't the minority, and she still could not get it. She went to the eliminations like the most before she went out. Like, I think she just flat out isn't, like, a good player, and I just don't want to see her on my screen the next few seasons.
We'll leave it at that. I think at the end of the day, you know. What were your thoughts on Big T and Melissa's matching crown?
That was cute. Like, I think, you know, I am a hater, but I can say that they looked cute together. And especially when they were, like, doing the pinky promises and all that stuff. It was adorable.
Who looked the best?
Melissa, I think. Oh, like, out of everyone or just, like, out of everyone? Ooh, that's really tough. I think, I'm such a sucker for Raven. Raven is so hot, and she was serving tonight. She looked really good, in my opinion.
I thought Mariah looked pretty good. Olivia with black hair, I was like, kind of, it didn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's her natural hair. I think she said before in a podcast that she, like, dyes her hair, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just so used to her being, like, a blonde or a redhead. Like, but yeah, I'm going to go with Mariah. I thought when she walked up to the chaos draw, like, I thought that she was looking good. Speaking of the chaos draw, what'd you think of that? Like, the little kooky little, you know, hey, oh, you got to go draw, you know, spill or chaos.
It was fun. Like, I think it was a good addition to the show. It was definitely interesting. I think it would have been a lot more fun if one of the options was, like, the ability to, like, pass on, like, the spilling to some other player. You know what I mean? Like, instead of avoiding the question, you could pass it on to someone else to answer. I think that would have been, like, an interesting twist. And then maybe some more drama comes out of that. Like, could you imagine Olivia, pulling that, like, and she, like, selects Norris to answer that, like, thirstiest challenger question or something? The drama would be unreal.
Yeah. So let's go to Olivia and Norris, because that was a big theme in this episode. You know, Norris, what'd you think of Norris at the moment? Because even before anything happens, we see Norris, like, even before Maria introduces the whole show, we see Norris, like, she's crying and she's walking off set already. Not even a single word has been said. And Norris is already crying. Like, what did you think of that? Were you like, come on, Norris, like, pull it together? Or were you like, you know what? Yeah, like, I get it.
Okay. I like, you can check the receipts. I have been, like, deep throating Norris all podcasts, all season and long.
Our whole season, yeah.
Yeah, I have, even I got to the point where I was like, okay, you know, Norris, you know when you told Emmanuel to, like, humble himself and stuff like that? I think you should tell that to your, look in the mirror and, like, tell that to yourself, because she is, like, drinking her own Kool-Aid, in my opinion, JB. I get it. She's emotional with the Olivia stuff, but everything else, I felt like she was a bit, like, over the top with, like, her, like, little, like, ad-libs and whatever, whenever the host would mention her name about, like, doing a good job. Like, she'd be like, I'm the real winner and, like, stuff like that. I'm just like, okay, Norris, just, like, we get it. You know, you're emotional about this, and this season was a lot for you, but just, like, come on, pull it together. What did you think about her?
Yeah, I thought Norris did fine in this reunion. I think that, you know, I honestly feel like everything that she has said or done is justified. Like, I think she's allowed, like, when you're on the wrong side of something like this, like, I really feel like your feelings are valid. And you're allowed to feel however you want to feel. And so I really don't have a problem with anything that Reese said. Something I will mention, though, I kind of want to go off this tangent before we get back to Norris and Olivia. But Norris talks about how she would have won the final if Emmanuel didn't copy Colleen Sudoku. Controversial? Yes? No? Maybe?
I think it's such a petty loser, like, way of looking at it, because if you remember, when it comes to, like, the drinking portion of, like, the disgusting food and, like, or eating that stuff, it is notoriously a hack that you, like, drink a little bit of it and just throw up everything else. You know what I mean? That's a thing that everyone does. So, like, blaming Emmanuel for, like, cheating or whatever is such, like, a crybaby type of excuse for losing. I know that might be, like, the Norris fans out there might hate to hear that, but I just think that, like, listen. The opportunity was there for him to, like, take advantage of, and he did, and that's how he won the game. If Norris was there, she would have done the same thing.
It's part of the game. Like, if you weren't allowed to do that, it would have been in the rules. And if you did do that and it was not in the rules, then that's cheating. But he copied off Colleen because he was right there. And Norris, you could have copied off Colleen too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, you know, everything that every tool that Emmanuel had, Norris also had, and I feel like, you know, for that reason, it's justified. But Torrey, even like Torrey, also, why are you there? And for the most part, why is Darrell there? Why is Devin there? Like, you were on the season for like 2 seconds. Like, you don't need to be here. Like, but I mean, good for them for like cashing their appearance fee and all that and getting a free trip to Amsterdam where they filmed the reunion. But like, I mean, still, like, it's ridiculous. Like, they had no reason being there. Laurel was the only champion that made sense being there. And it is, no, you know what? She didn't even make sense to be there, but at least she delivered. So I'm willing to like give her a pass because she added to the value of the show. And what I'll say with this, when it comes to Torrey mentions that Norris is the champion in her eyes. So do you think that Norris will be seen as a champion if and when she returns?
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, I think at the end of the day, like, I think everyone wants her to be the champion. Like, I think we've called her the people's champ, but I just don't know if she will have that official title moving forward, unless like the challenge officially comes out and like makes like a redaction and says that we're going to have a female winner for the season two, which I highly doubt they're going to do that.
No, they're not going to do that. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like people will look at Norris as competition, even if 100%. She's not a champion.
I will go as far as to say, JB, I think coming out of this season, more people are threatened by Norris than Emmanuel. What do you think about that?
I agree. Yeah. Because I feel like Norris, in terms of the females, is higher on the threat list than Emmanuel is on the male list.
She legitimately spanked Horacio and Kylan in an elimination. It's like kind of crazy to think about. Like, it's just like she made it look easy, like the whole season. And like, I just want to mention about Norris. I wish one of the champions pointed out that like, Norris, you legitimately could not do like a tanagram puzzle that you just did like 5 days ago on an elimination for the final. Like, who are you to talk about like people cheating? Like, you already had so many advantages coming into that final. So I think it's like a bit like hypocritical for her to be like calling anyone out for like taking advantage of opportunities.
You are going in on Norris.
I expect more from Norris. Maybe that's like a too high of an expectation. But I think she should have been a bit more humble throughout this whole entire reunion. I just think that she was too much like hyping herself up when she really had a major choke job for that final. Like, I know, like, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. When it comes to the champions, by the way, that you were mentioning, it's kind of crazy that they had like the winners of those, like they had a bunch of losers up there for like for their eliminations, but they didn't have Casey, who won. It's like
Casey was there actually.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's just kind of like a John Cena thing. Furniture. It's just invisible.
She was furniture. Yeah. Going back to her Big Brother
Jamie
days.
And I with like the 1-2 punch. I called her invisible. You called her furniture.
Yeah, I mean that's what she was on Big Brother. That's, you know, they said Casey and Angela, they were the furniture in the house, and they lasted almost the entire season. So yeah.
Dude, yeah, by the way, I just want to say real quick, Devin looks rough. I don't know if he's ready for 40. He's gained some weight. Did you catch that?
You know, Devin won and was like, I don't got nothing to prove no more.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, he won like the crapshoot elimination against, I think it was Callum, like the crapshoot counting elimination. And
yeah, yeah.
Now he's thinking he's hot shit. But I'll tell you what, Devin, if he goes into elimination against, like, Emmanuel, I mean, I know he beat Emmanuel in 37, but, like, I feel like Emmanuel would beat him now. I feel like Corey would beat Devin right now. I feel like Jay in the right elimination would beat Devin. Horacio would beat Devin. Like, Kylan would probably beat Devin, too.
It's not looking good for Devin.
Yeah, Devin. But he's got a good enough social game to last him, you know, pretty far. In 40, if he were to return. But he is banging. He is banging in 40. He did say that.
Did you know he was in a relationship? I had no idea.
I did know this. It's with a girl that's not on TV, and then they broke up. So Devin's ready to go back to MTV to find love. We'd love to see it. But yeah, let's get back to Olivia and Norris. We kind of went on a large tangent there. But yeah, so Olivia is going to like this is the first time that they're seeing each other since the show wrapped up. And they hadn't spoken, and Olivia looks as if she's experiencing a lot of regret for what she did. And, you know, they say that, you know, they were best friends. They were the big T and Melissa before the challenge happened and all this. And Olivia seems very remorseful about everything that happened. Because, you know, it was very weird how this came about, because obviously the show made it look like Olivia was so fake in how she handled this. And I'm not defending Olivia here. Like, what she did was horrible, and I would never want to be friends with someone that would do something like that to me. Let's be real here. If a friend of mine did that to me, I wouldn't necessarily be so forgiving. But Olivia is just like, she's playing she's doing what she needs to be in this. She's owning what she did. She's apologizing for it. And she knows that, and she's not begging for forgiveness either.
I agree. And you know what? I've been hyping up Corey all season, but girl, bye. When he's like, you got to show grace here, Nerys. You got to show, it's like, excuse me? Did you see what Olivia did? Like, are you serious? Like, why should I be showing grace in this situation?
Here's the thing. Corey, it makes sense for Corey to do something like that, because Corey has made a mistake or two in his challenge career. And he knows that he made mistakes. And I'm not even just saying on this season, I'm saying on his last season as well. So like, Corey knows what it's like to be in Olivia's shoes. And I think that's why he's willing to give Olivia that kind of grace. But it is a whole lot harder to do that when, you know, you're the victim in the situation. And look, I think a lot of people are willing to forgive Olivia because like, they're not really like on, like, they're not really against her. Like, Olivia didn't really piss anyone else off. Now, maybe if, you know, Olivia is, what's the right word? You know, maybe people are looking at Olivia a different type of way now because she did what she did and how people are a little wary of her. But I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, like, what Olivia did, it just, like, didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm still confused as to why she actually did it. And you know, you can say, oh, well, you know, she just wanted to save herself. She was in self-preservation. She was saved. She was saved. Like, she agreed to Michelle's plan. But at the end of the day, she was the one in the driver's seat, and she ran Nerys over. And Horacio. So, at the end of the day, like, Olivia is responsible for her own actions. And it has nothing to do with her wanting to be self-preserving or whatever. She had the game in her hands. She had Nerys's game, she had Horacio's game, and all of that was in her hands, and she threw it away. Whether or not that was the right game move or not is to be said, but it seems like with this group, the game didn't matter. It was more friendships before the game at that point.
It was such and a Olivia rough
chose,
look.
Olivia chose the game over friendship.
It's just such a rough look. Like, in general, it doesn't help either that TJ decided to be finally invested in the house dynamics and was, like, asking, like, 10 follow-up questions during the moment. So, like, it's just, like, Olivia got dragged this season, and I think it's totally fair. By the way, when we were talking about Corey, I know this is a side tangent, but when you're talking about Corey and, like, Big T and like him making mistakes, I thought back to like last time he was on with like Huey, and I just started to think, JB, like, is Corey like one of the worst like LGBTQ allies you could ever ask for? Like, I think he legitimately like might not be team loyal when it comes to that.
I mean, it's just ironic that the two people he's fought with the most are both queer people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
could you imagine him in, like, Big Brother with, like, the cookout or something like that? Oh, like, I don't
God.
Know.
Oh, my God. Wild. But, yeah, so, like, at the end of the day, like, I really feel like, I mean, I'm sure there will be more in part two, so I don't want to talk about it ad nauseum too much here, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some next week. But, yeah, it just seems like Olivia, I'm curious to see if they'll do another challenge together. Like, I feel like there is going to, like, be pushed, I feel like there's going to be some push for both of them to be on 40. and give them a chance to write the next chapter and whatever this is. You know, whether it be Nerys getting revenge for Olivia, whether it be, you know, some kind of whatever. Because it did seem like Olivia's doing what she's, like, meant to do, I feel. And you know, she's opening, the door's open for her if Nerys ever wants to accept an apology. But it just seems like Nerys doesn't want to, and that's okay. But what I was not as, I guess, surprised about, but more so, Horacio was extremely forgiving of Olivia in that moment. What were your thoughts on Horacio and Olivia at that?
I am so over Horacio, dude. We get it. You're Mr. Perfect. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, this guy is just so, like, not Team TV. Like, he himself is like, I'm not going to be the peacemaker. It's like, I get it, but, like, could you imagine, like, in season 40, if Nerys and Olivia were all there and he was, like, trying to, like, figure out what's going on between them? Like, I think it would have been, like, super entertaining. But nope. We ended up getting, like, the most perfect athletic guy out there who's the most genuine and he's, like, the greatest guy ever. I think I'm, from this season, I'm very frustrated with Horacio. And I appreciate him like being like this hero or whatever, but at some point I just think that he needs to realize that this is the challenge and it needs to be some form of like entertainment. This is not the Olympics. So I don't know. That's just my take with Horacio. What about you?
The thing is though, is like Horacio has every right to express the same kind of frustration and disappointment that Nerys has. But also I also am putting into account like the setup that Horacio had coming into the Tyrrhenian. Like he had been away for who knows how long filming Exathlon. You know, they hadn't seen each other or really talked a whole lot since that point. And I feel like Horacio was just there not trying to start shit because he couldn't finish it at that moment. And so I feel like Horacio is also the kind of person to not air out his dirty laundry. And if he really does have a problem with Olivia, like he would address it to her, but off camera and like not like I just feel like it's just Horacio's style. He's not a messy player. He's not a messy person. You know, he's not going to like throw people under the bus. He's a nice guy. And that's the role that he plays on the show. He's like Darrell, like in that same way, like Darrell was seen as like this. I'm here for the game. I'm here for the money. I'm here to, you know, prove to people who I am. And that's that. Like, and Darrell at one point was not that. Like, Darrell was, you know, who he was. But, you know, I feel like modern day Darrell is kind of what Horacio fills on the show. And so I feel as if, you know, Horacio really was there. Just Horacio is good because you need some foils. Like, you need some peaks and you need some valleys. Like you can't have everyone on an 11 at all times. You need to have some balance there because what it does is it builds. And I feel like that's why Horacio and Nerys work really well, because Horacio provides that balance. So yeah, I feel like Horacio just hadn't had a whole lot of time to really think about it, or had a lot of time to think about it and just didn't want to like air out all this stuff.
By the way, did you peep them saying that Horacio shot his shot, or whatever the term is? But anyway, he did that by asking Nerys for a lap dance at the club. I was like,
yeah,
okay. I know we did see that, but I was like, I can't believe that's how like he shot his shot. Like, I can't believe it. Like, you have to be as good looking as like Horacio to get away with that, I think. Otherwise, I don't think the regular guy can like shoot shot.
They were definitely flirting before then. Like that, I feel like.
I hope so. I hope so.
No, definitely.
Good for Horacio, though.
And he probably got the go ahead from, you know, his friends or something like that. But yeah. Let's salute the invisible people that we saw but didn't hear from. Zara, Ed, you were there. James, good for you. Like, get that appearance, buddy. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know. Oh, and Emmanuel. Emmanuel was there, too.
The winner of the season was, like, how did we not spend more time on this guy being a serial cheater? I do not understand, JB. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, we spent, do have like, a whole second part.
I hope we get something. We got
20
minutes.
We do have a whole second part.
Dude, we got 20 minutes of Big T and Corey fighting each other, but we got nothing on, like, potentially one of the biggest things of him cheating on, like, five different girls. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, but that was also, like, I feel like it wasn't really a big storyline, and Emmanuel's trying
it
to...
It should be. It should be.
I feel like Emmanuel at... Because he did kind of mention it. He was like, yeah, like, I didn't like it. I regret it. I apologize. And that's all that he really needs to say. Again, you know, not every single person on this show is going to be as messy as, you know, the likes of Big T, Melissa, Corey. So the thing is, like, when you get people like Emmanuel, Horacio, you know, they're just going to say their shit and, you know, move on and then go to the next thing. Like, it's that simple. I was a little surprised, too, that Jay did not get a whole lot of talking on this part. I'm sure we'll get more of him in part two, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there anything else from the reunion that I feel like we missed? Oh, Laurel defending Michelle.
I did not expect Callum. That.
Yeah, with the whole Callum situation. I feel like that we didn't also, like, the whole Callum Michelle thing is a little weird to me, because I feel like the only people that know the second half of the Callum Michelle story are those on social media and those that are following and know that Callum was cheating on Michelle the whole time. Well, I guess Callum did mention on the show that he had a girlfriend, right? It was so long ago. I faintly
remember. He did. They even showed evidence of him being on call with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, like, the thing is, his run on the show ended so abruptly because he was called down to elimination in the chaos portion by Devin. It was just, like, had no idea that it was even going to happen. You know, so I feel like that storyline was just kind of, you know, abruptly stopped, and it kind of, you know, made it to where there was really no end to it. And, you know, they could have honestly edited him out of, like, the whole season, I feel, or like edited out him and Michelle. But then again, I guess you wouldn't have gotten the understanding of Michelle and, like, why Michelle was keeping Callum in for the first couple of episodes. But I don't know.
It's just, like, to me it doesn't make any sense, right? Because you got this whole storyline of a guy cheating, and, like, that's part of the reason why Laurel is, like, yelling at him and saying that he has to treat women better and, like, whatever, and what all this nonsense, right? But where is that energy towards the winner of the season, Emmanuel, someone who should theoretically be a bigger and more important character than, like, Callum, who, like, left week two or whatever the fuck it is?
Yeah.
I just don't understand why, like, they had that whole segment of, like, him being, like, of Emmanuel saying something like, we're all snakes, and then why Laurel didn't jump in and, like, call him out. Like, I don't know what's, like, why all the women in the house just kind of, like, let it slide and that this guy is, like, doing this. It just doesn't make, like, I don't understand what the difference is between, like, Callum and, like, Emmanuel. I don't know why, like, one's getting away with more away with it.
Maybe Laurel is secretly really good friends with Michelle.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't. To me, it's like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. It's just, like, so frustrating to watch that whole scenario go down and then, like, see the Emmanuel situation and then compare the two. It's just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but also Laurel is really good friends with Raven. So that is interesting. I feel like we didn't get the end of that. Like, I feel like there will be more talk in the second episode of the reunion.
I hope so.
Yeah. What else do we, is there anything else we should mention?
Corey conquered the beam. What do you think of that?
Corey passed the balance beam. Unfortunately, him passing this balance beam got him the same amount of money that he got in the final, $0. but yeah, I just, you know.
Poor guy ran and, like, almost broke his, like, almost, like, ripped his suit trying to get to
this. Yeah, and everyone was like, why are you running? Why are you running? and then I guess we should mention, you know, where the reunion ends, which is, like, Asaf and Kylan kind of getting into each other's face. That was a big moment. And I don't really want to talk about it too much because I feel like that's how the next episode is going to start. And I feel like we didn't get a whole lot of really the beginning of it. And it does stem from, you know, the Melissa fight from earlier in the episode, and it stems from their whole you know, parents backing each other up. So we'll leave that for next week just because it will give us a good starting place to start our next episode. But to wrap this up, we did see the Challenge All-Star 4 trailer. And we've, you know, if you are deep in the internet, you've seen the cast, you know, for months, over a year at this point, honestly, because this cast filmed in early 2023. And we are getting the season premiere of All Stars 4 on April 10th, which is nearly 2 years since the start of season 3. It's funny because they dropped 3 seasons on us within basically a year. And then they waited 2 years to get a season 4. And this has been in the vault for so long. And I really hope it lives up to the hype, because this cast, Naveed, might be the best one of the 4 so far.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Absolutely. We'll start with the guys. And we'll go through the list. And if you don't know a whole lot about them, just, you know, we can move on quickly. But we have Ace from The Real World in Paris. He was on, I believe, an earlier All-Star season. I think he was on the first one, and he was the first boot. He's the first All-Star's boot, and now he's coming back for hopefully not being the first boot.
Yeah, you know what? I'm down to see what he brings to the table like the second time. But if he stinks again, then goodbye, Ace. We do not need to see you again.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm curious as to this whole cast. I do have some questions in terms of, like, you know, what we think and all that. But let's move on. We have Adam from Road Rules. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Adam, to be honest with you. He hasn't been on the Challenge All-Stars yet. The last time he was on the Challenge was Gauntlet 2 back in 2006. That's a
sounds about right.
Drought. Yeah. So Adam is coming back to the screens. We have Brad, we just saw as a champ on this season. He's back. He was on All-Stars 3. He made the final. And he's probably one of the top men, if I'm being honest.
It's really exciting. Unfortunately, I think most people are no longer excited to see Brad after his performance this season with Battle for a New Champion and how he got absolutely destroyed by Kyland. But I'm hoping that since this was filmed beforehand, he was like more in shape and it's a bit better.
This is more in speed, too, I feel.
I agree.
And I think that the cast that is surrounding him makes it to where he could probably make a deep run. Someone that I think I'm really excited about is Brandon from Free Agents. I think that the last time we saw him was Free Agents. So 5
it was Free Agents.
Brandon, but we haven't seen him in almost 10 years.
Dude, I'm so excited to see Brandon. He's one of these guys who has like a genuine connection with the audience, and every time people see him on the cast or watch him play, everyone was like super sad to see him go. For some reason, he's just like this authentic person that everyone kind of really just like enjoys watching, and it's one of those like proof that you can't, it's hard to find these type of individuals nowadays with reality TV. I'm really excited to see Brandon come back, and I hope and pray that he finally gets his win. That's well deserved.
Well, he hasn't even made a final, so let's get there first.
Okay, fine. He makes a final at least. I hope for that.
We have Derek. We last saw him on All Stars 2. He was also the first boot. Did 3 challenges before that. Thoughts on Derek?
Pretty meh on him. Like, I don't know. I don't really have much opinion on him. I didn't think he was anything that crazy in, what was it, Rivals 2 either. So I'm kind of excited to see, like, how he does this time around. It feels like they're giving some folks a second chance. But I don't know. We'll see with Derek.
I do want to talk about Jay, but I want to skip over him because I want to give more time for him and kind of go through the rest of the male cast. We have Kefla. We haven't seen Kefla in a while. It's been since two 1999. So yeah, season two of the Challenge, season four of All Stars. It's over 20 years since we've seen Kefla on the Challenge. I'm curious to see how that's gonna go. He looks like he's pretty in shape.
Yeah, he does. He does look like he's in shape, but I have no idea who this dude is. I did not watch that all the way back then, so it's gonna be fun to see to find out about Kefla.
We've got Leroy coming back as well, and I Leroy is definitely probably the favorite of the guys. He has to be, right?
He has to be. Like, I think it's one of those situations where I take back what I said about Brandon, about everyone wanting him to win. I think Leroy is the chalk pick for, like, the fan favorite and the guy that everyone wants to see finally get the dub. And I want to get your take. If he wins All-Star 4, do you think that, like, is equal to, like, a regular main stage win?
Yes. I think he's going against people that are on the Challenge currently, you know. I'd say it's a win.
I agree.
But yeah, we've got Ryan from 5 seasons of the Challenge. He's also on All Stars 2. Good to see him again. Steve, we also saw him in All Stars 2. A lot of All Stars 2 returning for All Stars 4. So that's interesting to see. Cyrus, who we last saw, I think it was All Stars 2 or All Stars 3. Yeah. So from what I've heard, there are 13 guys and there are 12 girls. So there is a possibility that one of the men gets, like, medevaced or quits early or something like that. And I've heard that Cyrus is the replacement.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, like, I want to know, like, but, like, usually, like, if he's, like, a replacement, they don't announce it this early, do they? Like, he's on the cast. They usually wait until, like, the person gets medevac, and then they come out as, like, a surprise person, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see, like, why they did announce him on the cast already. Does that mean that he makes it far? I don't know.
We'll see. But, yeah, we've got Tony back on the Challenge. Tony Reigns.
Tony time!
We last saw Tony time on Final Reckoning, where he lost in the last elimination before the final. He made the final in Vendettas, 6-time challenger. Tony Reigns is back on our screen. I'm curious to see how he has he's evolved. I feel like with this cast, he's gonna be pretty tame. I feel like he's gonna be there, he's gonna have a good time, and I don't feel like there's an opportunity for him to be messy like there was back on a regular season.
Dude, I mean,
he is really close with Nicole. And so, you know, Nicole, we'll talk about Nicole in a little bit. But, you know, yeah. But then there's Tyree.
Before one thing about Tony, it'll be tough to get a lot of these girls pregnant for All Stars. That's a benefit for Tony, 100%.
I think he's safe. We've got Tyree. And Tyree was last on Rivals 2 in 2013. So it's a 10-year return for Tyree. I believe he used to date Jasmine, but I feel like with Jasmine, like, there's no, like, bad blood there anymore. Like, it's dried out blood, because they were partners on a Battle of the Exes season and they got eliminated pretty early. But yeah, so we'll go back to Jay here. I just want to know, of all the people you could have cast, which casting producer said
I mean, to his credit, Jay is, like, in a good shape, and, like, he's, like, doing CrossFit and stuff like that. So, like, I guess it kind of makes sense for what they're going for with, like, All-Stars, but still, I agree with you. It's such a random, like, draw.
The most random cast member on this season. Seriously. I'm baffled by it. And
I mean, he made the finals.
Part of me is slightly intrigued because, well, he made the final for Jenna. Like, Jenna helped him get to the final. Like, he had the social game with Jenna. I feel like he's going to be a target early. But I'm just like, who the fuck said, yes, we want Jay Mitchell? Like, was he the first call? Like, I'm genuinely serious. Like,
who? So, my theory is, like, that if you look at the cast, especially for the men, they had a lot of repeats when it comes to, like, from season 2. Like, a lot of, first elim. Let's bring them back. Let's see what they got. So maybe they were, like, having a tough time with the men's cast. I don't know. Like, what do you think? They had to, like, kind of reach the bottom of the barrel to get some people?
Maybe. I mean, like, look, I guarantee you, they probably were like, let's get Brad, let's get Leroy, you know, let's bring back some people from, you know, that would want to do it. Because the thing is, too, is like, the people that have done an All-Stars previously, those people are, you know, much more, they come up sooner on the contact list for, you know, for the casting for the season. But like, Jay is someone that's just like, you know, totally random. Like, I don't know. Like, look, good luck to him, and I hope he gets what he's seeking. But yeah, I just, he sticks out like a sore thumb, in my opinion, in this cast. But we'll see. We'll see if that goes over well. But let's move over to the women's side. That's what I'm also very intrigued by. Is Avery from Real World Portland. She did 2 seasons of The Challenge. We last saw her on Rivals 3 back in 2016. An interesting choice, I'd say, for sure.
I agree. She was with, what was it, the Leroy for Rivals 3. Is that correct?
I think it was Johnny, was it not?
But no, Avery, you're, that Avery you're thinking about is, I think it's a different Avery, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, so, okay.
No,
yeah.
You're right. Johnny Riley and Avery were Battle of the X's 2, Leroy, and then Avery and Leroy were Rivals 3.
But Leroy got injured, and they were disqualified early. So, really, she's only done one challenge.
I agree, exactly.
So, yeah, that's a very interesting, you know, casting choice as well. I'm curious to see how she does. We have Ayana back from All-Stars 2. That's when we last saw her. And she made the final. Good for Ayana. Are we going to see any Greek salad stealing this season?
Yeah, we just might.
That is still, in my opinion, my favorite All-Stars moment. And one of the best reality TV moments of the last 5 years. Jody, I did eat your salad, and I love that salad. I'm gonna go watch it after we're done here, because that was like
just finding it on Google or on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll come back to Kara. I'm sure we'll give her some more time, but let's go through some of the not as important. I don't want to say, look, everyone's important in this cast, but Kara is a headliner, so we'll leave the headliners for the end of the women's section. We have Flora from Real World Miami. She last competed Battle of the Seasons in 2002. So a 20-plus year return for Flora. I'm curious to see what she's able to do. I don't personally know her very well. So
she's from such an old season. I like the picture, like the cast pictures from that season were like 240p. Like, you know what I mean? That's how old that season was.
Yeah. We have Janelle from All-Stars 2. She made the final. Mm-hmm. And that she's won a challenge before. I think she's going to be a dark horse in this one.
I agree. I can see her going far.
We have Jasmine, also did All-Stars 2. She made it about halfway through. I feel like every challenge that Jasmine has done, she makes it to about the halfway point. So I feel like that's what we're going to see from her here as well. Would you like to see a Jasmine versus Laurel rematch in Balls In?
Bro, I know. This poor girl, bro. Just give her a break. You know what I mean? No one wants to see that. Like, everyone knows the results. Unless, like, it's like by some miracle she does win. I think it's probably going to be one of those, like, sad challenge moments.
Yeah. We'll skip Cam and Laurel and Nicole, because I feel like those four, along with Kara, you know, belong in their own little chat. But another three people that belong in the same chat, definitely. Rachel, Tina, and Veronica, they're all back, and they haven't played together. I think they said Inferno 2, I think did they win the Inferno 2? I forget. They were,
yeah, no,
I think they're final together.
Inferno 2 was
final. They made the final together, so I feel like this is like an automatic alliance, and an iconic alliance at that. Like, we're going to see, but I don't know how long they're going to last. I feel like they're going to be targeted somewhat early. But this is definitely like a trio to watch for sure.
100%, yeah.
We've gotten Tina on All-Stars 2 and All-Stars 3. I believe she got hurt in All-Stars 3. And then All-Stars 2, All-Stars 2, I think she was like an early boot. Yeah, she didn't make it super far. Yeah, she got eliminated in the fourth
episode. She lost to Melinda, I think.
Yeah. So And then Veronica, I'm curious to see how she does. She did pretty well in All Stars 3. And she's, you know, competed pretty recently on the Challenge flagship. She did Ride or Dies a year ago. So she's probably, I think she did Ride or Dies right before she did All Stars 4. So that should be an interesting, you know, she should be someone to watch for sure.
Yeah, All Stars 3 was kind of a, Chris, unfortunate ending for Veronica because look at what it was, medically disqualified.
Yeah, but this women's cast, like, is very stacked. One of the most stacked women's props I think we've ever seen, especially for an all, like, definitely for the All-Star season, but the fact that we're...
Who do you want to start with?
Tara, Laurel, Pam, and Nicole on the same cast. Is crazy. The biggest thing from the premiere or from the trailer was Nicole and Laurel making out. I could not believe that, Naveed. I could not believe it.
Nicole has like some like unspoken like godlike riz to pull this again. Like it's just incredible. I couldn't believe it either,
Nicole
JB.
Rizzonata.
Nicole Rizzonata.
Because like she is like one of the worst people. She's a serial cheater. She is, you know, like she just is like she's annoying. She's like all this, but for some reason, she has these women like mesmerized. Insane.
It doesn't make sense.
And you know what? It's to the point where I have to respect it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's like what's the saying? Like, the first time, shame on me, or the first time, shame on you, second time, shame on me, type of thing. Like, I think I'm at the point right now with Nicole where I'm like, you know what? Slow golf claps for the what you're pulling here. It's crazy.
And I am really excited to see her on this season. I'm not even gonna front. You know, she made it to. She's never been eliminated. She's never been eliminated. She has either made it to the final or she's been medevac. And that is a threat right there, like automatically off the jump.
Yeah.
And not only that, but she has enemies, like Kara and Laurel, I would consider her enemies, but she has friends too. Tony is a friend of hers, and Tony and Nicole are going into that house as Ride or Dies. Tony will not say Nicole's name, Nicole will not say Tony's name, and they will go very far together. I do believe it.
Crazy.
Like I'm surprised they got Nicole back. I really am.
Same.
And Laurel. Like I'm surprised Laurel. Maybe I just misread. Like I thought they were like as close to a restraining order as you could get without actually having a restraining order. But the thing is, so for those of you that don't know the whole Laurel Nicole saga, so I guess they started dating Laurel and Nicole like around. Did they do a season together?
Invasion of Champions, I think that was the one.
Yeah, okay, so they did Invasion of the Champions together. And I guess and Nicole makes the final. Laurel gets eliminated midway through, or right before the final. And then they start dating, and it's messy, and there's cheating involved. And they eventually get to X on the Beach. But they did the season where it was the winter season, X on the Peak. And this is back in 2019-2020. And this was what Laurel and Callum, because Callum, you know, from Challenge 39 was also on this season. And that's where the Callum-Laurel, you know, I guess war of words came from. Because they were together on that season. And that's when Laurel was able to speak on her experience with them. Well, Nicole was also on that season. Laurel was Nicole's ex. And so the fact that they, like, and they, that was a messy, they were messy there.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see them 3 years later come back on this show is mind-boggling to me.
It's nuts.
Mind-boggling to me. It's nuts.
Yeah. I think, like, at the end of the day, right, like, when it comes to, like, a season that, like, Laurel can, like, win again, I think this might be, like, one of her better seasons. Unless, like, she gets too, like, distracted with, like, the Nicole stuff, which already seems like she is. I could see Laurel doing, like, well this season. What about you?
I could, too. But if I had to put my money on anybody, it is Killa Cam.
Ooh, I like that pick. Which is, by the way, I want to say that, like, Cam and Leroy, absolute, like, lies when they said that they were going to, like, retire forever.
Yeah, you didn't believe that ever. But no, I really feel like this is Cam's season to lose because she's coming in the house with really no enemies. You know, maybe people are threatened by her and Kara could eventually lead that. But I feel like with Kara, she knows not to mess with it. And, like, because Cam comes with Leroy. And Leroy is, in my opinion, genuinely, Leroy is the best male to never win. And the way I say, and I don't say that as, like, just from a competitor standpoint. I say that as a challenge player. I say that as someone who, you know, is strategic, social, physical. I feel like Leroy is the best all-around player that is not a champion. And I feel like with Cam, like, Cam's pretty close to that on the women's side. If not, you know, she is. I just think it'd be really cool to see Leroy and Cam win together. I think it'd be pretty dope. But, yeah, they come into the season together. Do they have a target on their back? Yes. But is the target big enough to where people are going to target them right away? No. The only person or people that could beat Cam in elimination are Kara and Laurel and Nicole. Like, I really think those are the three people. Rachel will give her a shot, too. And the right elimination, maybe. But I just feel like people are not going to touch Cam.
Yeah, like, I agree.
The women is, like, there are two tiers. There is the top tier with Kara, Cam, Laurel, Nicole, Rachel. And Veronica is maybe sixth. And then it's the rest of the girls. Like, it really is, like, a huge difference. And granted, look, like, Janelle made a final. You know, like, Veronica, Tina has made finals before. Like, they are in the second tier of this cast. It's just a different level. And that's kind of, you know, where I'm at with this. But, yeah, but also, this season is going to be highlighted mostly by Kara's return. And Kara has, you know, the time away, I think, has really benefited Kara. And I think this arena is definitely better for her than the flagship game. It's just not as messy here, a little bit more carefree, not as cutthroat, but more so just to kind of celebrate the challenge. And Kara should be celebrated because she is a big part of the challenge.
I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, what happens with Kara without, like, the negativity of Paul Lee being there and, like, the toxicness that kind of he brought onto, like, the seasons where they were together. Will she be more lighthearted? Will she be more fun? I think when it came to the battle for a new champion, I think, JB, you and I were already very much annoyed by her with her, like, five-second appearance. So there might be a good chance that we're annoyed by her again with All-Stars, but I'm hoping that she'll be all right. By the way, I want to ask you, what did you think about her in the reunion?
No comment. I thought she was irrelevant, to be honest with you. I did not think that she gave what she thought she was giving. But also, like, the Challenge 39 filmed after All-Stars. So maybe she went on to 39 with the idea in her head that she did well on All-Stars, and that kind of gave her the confidence to think that she'd do well in an elimination.
Interesting. That's why she's cocky.
Maybe. But yeah, I think Kara makes the final. I really have a hard time seeing Kara not make the final with this cast. But we'll see. Like, the thing is, it's going to come down to this group of girls, Kara, Cam, Laurel, Nicole. If they want to put their guns down and just say, hey, we'll figure this out in the final, cool. But if someone wants to be cutthroat and wants to target one of these people before a final, then all bets are off. And that's when this game could get pretty messy. So I'm curious to see how that goes from that point. I would also be curious to see if this season ends up being like a partner season or individual season. I feel like it's going to be an individual season just based off of what we've seen in the trailer. And, you know, it just seems like it will be a partner season an individual season. I feel like partner seasons with this cast could get a little messy, like with Leroy and Cam and Tony and Nicole. Like we see, like, obvious pair, like Kyrie and Jasmine. You know, like, there are some obvious pair, Brandon and Kara. Like, maybe it is a partner season. No, I think Avery and Leroy, like, who knows? But I guess we'll see. We'll have to find out on April 10th when
by the way
premieres on Paramount Plus.
It's been like 7 years. This is the last time that Kara's been like eliminated. So she's on a like killer streak right now. Like I know four, like technically three out of those 7 years is her being inactive, but still kind of crazy to think about. So like we'll see what happens if like Kara can continue the streak of making a final.
Yeah. So yeah, I think this is a good place to stop for this episode. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back again next week for the final episode of the Challenge 39. I will talk about part two of the reunion. And then I guess we'll be taking a few weeks off before we get going again on All Stars 4. But we don't just cover the Challenge here at Reality Daily. We are covering a host of shows, including The Traitors, Survivor 46, which just premiered this week. And we'll be covering a whole lot more in the reality TV world. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll catch y'all next week. Take it easy, everyone.